The great Chinese military general Sun Tzu, S-U-N is the first name, Tzu, the second name, T-Z-U or T-S-U, an ancient Chinese military leader, wrote a book that is even read today at many of the war academies, West Point, many other military strategy academies and schools around the world. And the most famous quote from that book is, "Know your enemy." If you read about General George Patton in World War II, he was sent to North Africa in 1942 in order to engage the great German general Erwin Rommel in order to defeat his North African Corps of Tanks there in North Africa in 1942. So in the Art of War and many subsequent battles that have been fought since that book and wars that have been fought since that book was written, military leaders have come to realize that in order to defeat the enemy, you must know your enemy. In less than 11 weeks, brethren, from now, believe it or not, we're going to be sitting and partaking of the Passover. And who is our enemy? We go through the process every year of self-examination, of getting prepared to take the Passover and being prepared for the spring holy days. But I would submit to you, before we can really properly begin that process, we must know who the enemy is, and we must know what tactics he's using against us. If you would, turn over to Ephesians 6, chapter 6, and verse 12. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. Paul talks about the type of battle and the type of enemy that we're fighting. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So, brethren, before we can truly begin to start that process of self-examination for the spring holy days and for the Passover, we must understand what kind of battle we're fighting, and that's a spiritual battle. And we have to understand the tactics that our enemy is using against us. Now, in about 2 hours from now, the New Orleans Saints are going to be playing the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And I'm certain that this entire week, the coach of the New Orleans Saints planned how he was going to strategize to beat the quarterback, Aaron Rodgers, of the Green Bay Packers, because Aaron Rodgers is known as a very prolific passer, and the Green Bay Packers have very, very good wide receivers, and their passing game is very potent. So I'm sure this entire week, the New Orleans Saints, Sean Payton, and the defensive backs of the New Orleans Saints strategized and went about how they're going to defeat the wide receivers and to suppress the passing game of the Green Bay Packers. So before we can really begin the self-examination process, we have to understand how Satan is going to come at us, so to speak. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 11. "Lest Satan should get an advantage of us, let us not be ignorant of his devices." So Paul's saying that Satan has methods, he has devices, he has tactics that he uses against us to cause us to sin. The purpose of the sermonette is to examine a few of those tactics of Satan the devil, which he uses to cause us to sin. And I'm sure there's many others you might be able to come up with, but for the time that it was allotted in the sermonette, I came up with just a few. But the first one I came up with was the Trojan horse tactic. The Trojan horse tactic. If you've read anything about Greek mythology, the story of the Trojan horse, the Greeks sieged the city of Troy, which is a walled city, for 10 years. And after 10 years, they built a wooden horse, which they parked outside the walls of the city, and they put warriors inside that horse, a few warriors inside the horse, and then the majority of the warriors withdrew and got on ships and sailed away from Troy. At least so the Trojans in the city thought. They sailed away at night, but by morning, they disembarked back off the ships, surrounded the city, and as a trophy, the Trojans rolled the wooden horse with the soldiers inside to celebrate their victory, which they thought they had defeated the Greeks, or at least held out so long that the Greeks just finally gave up. But the few men that were inside the Trojan horse got out in the middle of the night, unlocked the city gates, and then the rest of the Greek soldiers who had gotten back off the ships entered the city and destroyed the city and conquered the city of Troy. If you would, turn with me to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. And we're going to see the first example of the Trojan horse tactic. At least, if you'll give me a little latitude, the Trojan horse tactic of the Bible. Genesis 3 and verse 1. Now the serpent, and Satan actually possessed the serpent, and used the serpent as the Trojan horse. Now the serpent was more subtle. Now pay attention to the word subtle. Now if you're fighting an enemy, is it more difficult to recognize a subtle enemy or harder to recognize a uniformed enemy? If you're a soldier in Afghanistan, it's very hard to identify the enemy. The enemy doesn't wear a uniform. The enemy blends in with the population. The enemy comes and hits you and runs. If they were a uniformed enemy, they'd be much more recognizable. But Satan chose to use a serpent, which was one of the subtle beasts of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent, the Trojan horse, the serpent was Satan inside of it, said unto the woman, you shall not surely die, which was a little bit of truth to that. I'm not going to die that day, but eventually she would die. For God does know in that the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And so now here we are 6,000 years after that event, and we see the results of Satan's world. So Satan the devil used the serpent as a Trojan horse of sorts in order to deceive Eve. The second tactic Satan will use are poison gas attacks. Poison gas was used in World War I in the fields of France and in Belgium in trench warfare. Chlorine and mustard gas were used to asphyxiate, choke, and to blind affected soldiers. So they would choke and die because of respiratory failure, or they would be blinded. Satan takes God's truth and mixes it with lies to create a spiritual poison gas in order to spiritually blind humanity. If you turn over to Revelation 2, it talks about Satan, who has deceived the entire world with that poison gas. Revelation 2 and verse 2. And he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, and cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive or use poison gas to spiritually blind the world and the nations and humanity no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. So Satan has taken truth and mixed it with untruth since the beginning of human existence in order to deceive the whole world. And if we won't turn there, but in John 8 and verse 44, it talks about Satan being the father of lies. He's taken things like Christmas and dressed them up to be very pretty and beautiful with lights, with beautiful music. He's taken Easter, the death of and the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and abrogated that and said that he was not resurrected on a Saturday evening, but he was resurrected on a Sunday. He's taken Sabbath keeping and substituted it and lied and turned it into Sunday keeping. He's taken the image of Christ, a pious, poor, helpless Jesus with long hair, and created an image of something that Christ wasn't. So these are all examples of that poison mixed gas that Satan has used to blind the entire world. Another tactic Satan uses is camouflage. In the Vietnam War, the Viet Cong mastered the art of camouflage to mask themselves in the jungle and to hide in the jungle and to make themselves look like they are part of the jungle. And when American patrols would come by, they would open up fire on the American forces because the American forces could not see them because they blended in with the vegetation around them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 talks about that camouflage that Satan uses. Second Corinthians chapter 11 verse 13, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, camouflaging themselves into the apostles of Christ. So there's people out there that come in the name of Christ, camouflaging themselves as apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed or camouflaged into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing his ministers are also transformed, or camouflaged is another word, as the ministers of righteousness. And you see in the world today, there are all kinds of false religions, false teachings, which appear to be true and good on the surface. Beautiful churches, good-looking preachers. I guess that's one way to know that we're hopefully part of the true church, is because we're not so good-looking. Oh, except for Mr. Rigor, I should say. Satan takes things like Harry Potter to camouflage evil, such as witchcraft. And I think probably he's very, very good at camouflaging things to deceive children. Probably camouflage is probably the primary way he probably would choose or like to deceive children. Another way that Satan comes at us or attacks us, or the tactics that he uses, are sneak attacks. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. In verse 8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And if you read about how lions attack on the Serengeti Plains of Africa, lions like to take advantage of factors that reduce the visibility of their prey. Many kills take place near some form of cover or at night. They'll sneak up on a victim until they reach a distance of less than 100 feet or less. And then they'll generally circle the herd that they're trying to attack, and they'll quickly look to leap on one of the weak or stray animals that breaks away from the herd. So Satan is portrayed or likes to use the tactic of a lion with sneak attacks. The last tactic I wanted to look at this morning that Satan uses in order to cause us to sin is propaganda. If you're going to be able to maintain a dictatorial totalitarian regime, you're going to have a strong propaganda program. And as you know, Satan is called the king or the god of this world. And he has a very, very strong propaganda program. Adolf Hitler once said, if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, people will start to believe it. And that's true. The Soviet Union used propaganda for over 70 years to subjugate their people. And Satan uses things such as television, radio, music. He broadcasts attitudes, moods with his propaganda. Turn over to Ephesians 2 and verse 2. And we'll see where it talks about Satan and his propaganda. Ephesians 2 and verse 2. Where in times past you walked according to this, to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, which is the propaganda, the things that Satan is putting out over the air is the propaganda. And we used to walk in that and be tuned into that. But we have to be very careful, brethren, not to live our lives tuned into that propaganda. So, brethren, in conclusion, as we begin to approach the spring holiday season, before we start the process of self-examination, let us first take the time to understand that we are in a spiritual war and to study our enemy's methods of that warfare so that we may be better able to rid sin out of our lives.